Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 363. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by Dills, the regular Dills. Dillstradamus, we're going to call you from now on.
Nostradilsmus.
Yeah. That's it. Nostradilsmus.
Yeah. Or Dillstradamus, sure. However you want to do it.
Dude's a damn prophet when it comes to Blizzard release dates. We'll go to more of that. Yeah, kind of.
Within 24 hours.
Sure, sure. I think that's a pretty good margin of error.
Yeah. By the way, Titan,
yeah,
coming out 2016, October the 1st.
You heard it here first, everybody.
All right.
Fantastic. Joining us today, we have a special guest. He's been on the show before, but it has been too long. Good friend of the program, Mr. Ace Detect himself, Tom Merritt, everybody. Hi, Tom.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to pretend to be Tepster for you.
Oh, God.
Don't do it. It's so bad.
No? All right.
All right. You know what it's like. It's like, what was the movie with the Kevin Costner Robin Hood piece of business there? That's what you did there for a second. Nice job.
Yeah, you're like the one
right to the gut.
You Costnered it.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. This is really good. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was kind of last minute. Terpster apparently tied up in some crazy busyness over there in Bristol, England. We don't know what exactly, but we hope all is well. And
it probably is tea and crumpets, I'm assuming.
Of course. Except as we shortened.
That's always what it is. We think
got
it's
tea
like,
and his crumpets.
Yeah. We think it's something really important. It's just tea time.
Yeah.
You know?
Indeed. Yeah. Tom's a listener of the show.
I do like how in Britain they do just stop everything to just have tea sometimes.
Don't you wish we had those traditions here?
I kind of wish we did, yeah. Like, I kind of wish like we'd be like, you know what, guys? No. I know we got a lot of stuff to do right now, but we need to all sit down and have tea.
Well, I have friends who will stop anything to go drink, you know, like in the middle of the day.
That's like the American way.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
It's drinking time.
Tom, normally you listen to the show on the weekends after we record, but you listen to us at 3x speed or whatever your player will allow. And I'm just curious
often.
Now that...
Not always.
Now that we kind of have you here, though... Like you're kind on of, the spot. The spotlight is on your face. Can you explain why someone would listen to, and this is no judgment by me, but why would somebody listen to a podcast at three times the speed?
Well, because when I was listening to the podcast at normal speed, I would find that I would run out of time. and I'd be like, whoa, wait, the new instance is out. I haven't finished the last one. And I really like the post-show stuff
yeah.
a lot.
Right.
So I want to hear all of it. I don't want to just skip like, oh, well, you know, and that's fine for some people. So I put it on 2X. And when I'm like running or something,
sure.
You know, that keeps me focused because I'm listening to that. They changed 3X in Downcast. I used to listen at 3X, but they changed it to actually be three times the speed, and you don't hear all the words anymore. So I brought it back down to 2X. I listen to the show at normal speed most of the time. It's only when I'm like, ooh, it's getting to be Tuesday and I still haven't finished. I better notch it up a little bit.
Totally understand. You are like the Native American. You eat the entire buffalo. You don't waste any of it. So
it consumes the entire podcast.
Sure.
Exactly.
I guess I can.
Or its power.
Sure. I guess. You absorb its power and then, oh man, I don't want to know you in a few years.
Add it to my own.
That's bad. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here and I really appreciate you sitting in. We got stuff to talk about. I mean,
I'm totally honored that you asked me to.
Well, think of us. Well, think of it this way. Now you don't have to play us at any speed when you run today.
That's right.
There's no show for you to hear. You've heard it all.
It's just a time.
You've heard the whole thing. Yeah.
So this, we'll talk about some of the stuff going on this week. It's been a big week. So the week previous, there was nothing going on. And now I understand why.
They were just preparing us.
Jeez, they were saving everything for Hearthstone iPad release, or at least soft launches in other countries. Here in America, still don't have it officially, although
I have it.
Dills has a nice workaround. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, it's still on the heels, just a week into Reaper of Souls, and everybody kind of unanimously digging the hell out of that, including me. And that's kind of been my life since the launch of that game. I can't stop playing it. That adventure mode is just amazing. It's just everything I ever wanted in a Diablo game.
I can't do it yet. I haven't gotten a 60 or whatever.
Well,
do you have to have a 60 or do you have to have a 70 now?
You just have to beat Act 5. So you'll be sub. Chances are you'll be sub 70 when you get there.
Okay.
But once you unlock it, you can go grab that new. What's he called? Oh, my brain just went dead. Not Paladin.
Crusader.
Crusader. Go grab a Crusader. Level him immediately in nothing but. Adventure mode. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Cool. I don't have to go to that story again.
I'm going to finally admit it. This is me. I'm confessing my sins. I finally killed Diablo for the first time.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, that means all you got to do is beat. You just got to beat the new act, done.
Yeah.
It's pretty short. It's not a.
No, I know. Yeah, but that first whole bit of just like running around that city.
Yeah.
Is kind of long. Like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, I keep stepping into doorways and starting events. Like, oh, you're going to kill the king? Okay, fine. Yeah. I guess I kill you. Okay, now what are you doing? Okay, I'm going to kill you. All right, what are you up to? Okay,
sure.
I'm going to kill you.
How's it going in here? Oh, great.
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys up to? Well, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm basically just running around town killing everybody.
Mm.
And I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's taken forever.
Well, I can tell you, I feel
it
like
seems rude of me.
They do those events real heavy at the top of that act, and yeah. I think it's because they're preparing you for the way. It feels to me like they were preparing for the way adventure mode works, because it's a lot of those kinds of missions, but they're usually a little bigger and there's more to do. But it's that kind of stuff. They're more questy, and it's just I freaking love it. I can't stop playing that mode. I mean, I like Diablo already. I liked it fine when it had an auction house. I like it a lot better without it. And now I really like it with this basically end game that's built into the thing. So that's just kind of taken all my Blizzard time. I meant to play more Heroes. All three of us have keys. Tom, you've been playing Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, I've played a couple games. I'm totally rubbish at it so far.
Mm-hmm. Sneaking a little Terpster in, I noticed.
I do love Nova.
Yeah.
Ah, but I'm a Nova. Yeah, I'm a Nova person.
I know, I know. Yeah. So I was happy to hear like, oh, I'm doing it right. Dills loves Nova too.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. We all need to get some playtime. Dills and I tried on and off during the week, and it never seemed to have our schedules match. But
I've been getting some games going with some people too. It's really fun when you're with other people. When you solo queue, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my problem. I need to team up with some people I know. So if we can figure out schedules, that would be awesome.
It would be cool.
I mean, I feel even horrible talking about it publicly because there's so many people who aren't in it. And here I'm like, oh, I'm complaining about not complaining.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's cool to have the key and be special and all, but
right, right.
Yeah, we should record that too. Do a little little something on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
But what I was kind of getting at is it just seems like all guns are firing. So they've got that alpha in heavy rotation. They have Reaper of Souls doing well and doing well sales-wise. It's cleaning up and doing great. And it really is awesome. And then you've got all this Warlords of Draenor stuff this week, which we will get into here shortly. So hang on to your butts. There's a ton of it. But then Hearthstone got launched on the iPad. Not here in the States yet. We're still waiting. Mm. But you got it, Dills. Is it what you did? I mean, what you did isn't illegal or anything. It's just a way to get around or is it?
I don't know. I don't think it might violate the terms of service. I don't think they're coming after me for it.
It actually might violate the terms of service of both Blizzard and Apple.
I guess it could. Great. Yeah.
Great. So we should bring it up here where 100,000 people will hear it.
We should talk about it publicly as much as possible. Yeah, yes, that
seems like a great idea.
In fact, I should call the police and turn myself in.
Well, I mean, all you're saying, Dills, is that you traveled to Canada to your Canadian residence.
I moved into another place there. I got an apartment. It's pretty simple. This
right
is
across the street from Jocelyn.
Sure.
This is how you get Hearthstone on the iPad. Move into a Canadian apartment. They're like $20. Okay. You know, it's really cheap.
No big
it's
deal.
Canada.
Sure.
You move into one of those, get yourself established, get to know the locals, like, you know, the customs and everything like that. Maybe spend a year or so just kind of getting your feet on the ground, and then get yourself a Canadian iTunes account.
Right.
With a Canadian credit card. It sounds simple. And you were able to do this within a couple of days. And,
I move quick. Yeah.
Because you've had hands on with it, I haven't had time to do your workaround. And I keep thinking, oh, well, it's going to come out today anyway. And then it hasn't. So now I'm kind of regretting that I didn't do it.
It would be like the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really surprised because usually it is when they do these soft launches in like New Zealand, it's almost always whatever app it is, whatever game it is always out the very next day. But I think they're doing a controlled rollout here kind of precedentedly for Apple and a developer.
Is it a server-related thing, do you think?
It seems to me that they're just making sure that it's stable.
The game, not Apple servers. They could just serve it up, I'm guessing. But
just making sure that it's stable before they...
Yeah, I mean, the game
I think
servers.
They know that these countries are a controlled amount of users, and then...
Also very polite.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
Easy customer service. Yeah. Sorry that I seem to have broken your game. Sorry. It was my fault, I'm sure.
I love it.
Yeah, so
Well, if they find you for this, just make sure you have lots of money with holes in it, because I understand that's how they trade up there, is money with holes in it.
The fine's probably...
That has become true.
It has now. For me, it has. That's amazing. So have you... So you've had hands-on. Quick impressions. What do you think?
I laid in bed last night playing. I played on the toilet. I have not done my bubble bath with it yet, which I'm planning to do very soon, probably this weekend.
Hold on. I got to write this down. Don't borrow Dill's iPad. Okay. I'm good.
But yeah, it's really good. It's stable. It's there's no lagginess to it. It doesn't bug out. I haven't had it crash on me. I did accidentally when you use all your fingers to shut an app down, you just kind of grab it,
and squeeze it
out. I did that accidentally, and then I launched it back up and was still in the game. So nice. I didn't lose the game because I accidentally closed the app.
Can you speak to the interface a little bit as far as, I know a lot of our listeners already have it and they already know this, but
no real changes. There's a couple of small ones. When you're building a deck, normally what you do is you left click the card and it goes in.
Yeah.
It goes into the deck, but in the iPad, you actually have to drag it into the list.
Well, that's interesting.
And when you want to double tap it or anything, drag it out. Yeah. You don't double tap. You just drag.
Do you do the same thing when you're attacking? Take the thing and drag it and top and drop it on top.
You can do either thing. Now you can actually click a dude and then click another dude and then that guy attacks, or you can drag. So you can do either one in the iPad. And actually if you click a dude, you just tap him, it shows you all the possible things you could click. All of those kind of become accentuated, if you will.
Okay.
And it's actually, there's a couple of small actual improvements. When you're applying a buff or something, it brings forward, it kind of hovers them off the board a little bit, all the possible targets for your thing. So it's actually really well done and it seems really smooth. So,
I can't wait. I can't wait to give it a shot. I guess I can wait because I have waited, but I kept thinking it'll just be out and now I got to quit playing that game, and they've showed no hints today of anything, so I may as well just do the Canadian thing.
It's the one thing that I'm concerned with is that since I downloaded it from a Canadian account, when it's time to update it, am I gonna have to swap my iTunes, my Apple ID, or I don't know, we'll see.
I'm sure
if it comes to that, I can just download it at that point.
I was gonna say, when it comes to the US, I would just delete that one and download it from the US,
because it's gonna be the same account.
It's all in the cloud anyway.
It's not like it's gonna have you start over and build new decks or whatever. And
once you get in, you just sign into your account anyway.
Yeah. I think the only difference up there is there's an emote that says, "How's it going, A?"
And it doesn't say
greetings or whatever.
Garrosh doesn't say, "I will crush you." He says, "I'm sorry, I'm going to crush you.
I'm
going to
crush you. Sorry. I'm going to hurt you real bad. Sorry."
Sorry.
You know, Canadians don't say it that way.
I know they don't, do they?
Jocelyn does. She totally does.
A little bit, maybe. She's probably playing it up for you.
It's the Halifax folks that really push that sorry out. I can tell you that much.
Well, it's like the U.S. There's different accents.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So, Tom, what have you been doing in the world of Blizzard? Anything this week?
I've been mostly playing Hearthstone, to be honest. I've got Reaper. I waited until after the first of the month, and I finally got it. So I'm just getting rolling with that. I haven't got sucked in all the way. And I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone because I thought, this is the new season and everything is here. This is great. And it turns out this is the worst time to play Hearthstone if you're not as good because all the casual players are playing Diablo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you look at just on Battle.net, you look where your friends are at, they're all in Diablo right now.
Yeah. So even though I'm 22, I'm pretty low on the ladder, I'm playing people, their decks are twice as good, three times as good as mine, because I'm still collecting cards. I had to take a couple months off of it.
Yeah. Well, that's good though. It's good that you're back, that you're in. You'll have it on your iPad soon.
Everyone I did get my Hearthsteed though. I won my three games. Yeah. So I jumped over into Warcraft and tooled around on that a little bit. It's pretty fun.
I'm sure your undead looks fine on it. My orc looks like a big dummy on it.
I gotta be honest. I got it and I was like, all right, Sky Golem though. Back to Sky Golem.
Right. Why would you? Yeah. Why
the thing only you, mount I'll ever need.
The thing you worked so hard for, plus really like. Why would you trade that up for a thing where you won
for a
three
thing
measly
I won
games?
Three games. Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, three games, sure.
For some I do of like those, the Jade Tiger still. I know that's old school.
Well, old school only in it's still it current expansion. Yeah, still good.
Bob looks good on it.
Right.
And Bob X.
He flies without wings, which has always been a little bit weird to me. But I'll take what I can get.
If it's mine.
That is, it is yours. Dills, there's a note here that says something about a new podcast. What are you doing, man?
We are starting a Heroes podcast.
I'm shocked. I'm blown away by this.
Could you believe it?
I can't believe you would do that. Yeah, I can't believe it. Amazing.
No, it's happening. It's happening, you guys. So I'll just go ahead and mention it real quick. Into the Nexus.
Mm.
With myself, Garrett Weinzerl, and Kyle Ferguson. Starting
fantastic.
Very, very soon. These are the StarCast guys. We're on amove.tv/ITN, ITNcast on Twitter. You can email us, ITNcast@gmail. It's already on iTunes. Stitcher is taking a little bit of time, but that's normal. And go ahead and subscribe, you guys.
Wow.
First episode coming soon.
That's amazing. Fantastic. We're going to get like breakdowns of heroes. We're going to learn about who's good, who's not, all that kind of stuff. What do you guys
probably won't get into any strategy or any news.
It'll just be you guys talking about beer or something.
Just going to talk about what's going on in our lives, like our day to day lives. But
so I was playing Heroes of the Storm and I was thinking about Ukraine.
Exactly. That
and
kind
then
of
it's
stuff.
All about the, yeah,
yeah, that kind of stuff.
Brilliant.
We're going to do, you know, general news. We'll break down specific heroes, specific strategies for like how to handle certain maps, all that stuff. So yeah, we're gonna get into it.
All right. Well,
if anyone out there in the audience is a decent Jim Morrison impersonator, can you record Riders of the Storm with the words Heroes of the Storm and send it to Dills so that they can use that?
Oh my gosh, who has already? Somebody has to have done this already.
It
has to. It's the internet. It's 2014. Somebody had to. But if they haven't, get on that. That's a brilliant idea. All right. Well, as Terpster would say.
Oh shit.
All right. Oh, hello. It is time for us to get into the news.
Here you go.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
All right, this is what I like to call kind of a hairy episode, and we begin with alpha news. But before we do, Doghouse Systems is bringing you this segment. Doghouse Systems is amazing. I love these guys. They're about to launch something you guys don't know about because I've had to keep my lips sealed. I haven't blown it. I haven't let it slip. It's been quite literally 6 months or more in the making. I wish I could say even more about it now, but they're getting close. And when they do this thing, you guys are going to be blown away. They just relaunched their new site. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on over there. If you want to get a new gaming rig, now's the time. They have their new signature series, artist panels, a bunch of artwork from me. There's an instance edition of the side panels to these cases that they're now selling with their different boxes. And there are various other people in and around the Frog Pants Network doing cool stuff, including an Angry Chicken box. Or no, StarCast is what it is, I think. I can't remember.
There will be an Angry Chicken
one. Yeah, yeah. So that's coming too.
Soon.
So there's an instance box right now. There's a Frog Pants one. There's some other ones that are really, really cool. Anyway, that's all new stuff. The one thing that I just can't talk about yet is coming, and it's going to be so rad. But until all then, save some money. Get double the memory with the code Henry at checkout. That's doghousesystems.com. All right, let's get into this alpha talk.
Okay.
Friends and family are playing the alpha. It's out. Beta to follow soon, they say. Expect it to expand quickly. Their new streaming tech they talked a bunch about. It's actually technology they introduced with the Heroes beta. So it's interesting to see that. This has been deployed here. We'll get into what that's called and why it works the way it does. But really, this is like a huge, giant nightmare. It's a 30-plus page set of notes for Warlords of Draenor, at least for the current alpha.
Yeah, I'm through like the first two paragraphs. I mean, this is crazy.
It's a beast.
Oh yeah, I just jumped to mage.
I laid in bed last night reading it through because it just hit yesterday, and my wife leans to me and goes, "What are you reading?"
I should make this available as an audiobook.
Yeah, for real.
Really
have George Goodell or somebody good read it. You know,
read this to me, and I'll be into it.
Because hearing it in my head, not so good. But those guys, I mean, honestly, hats off to the community team and everybody there. They've just done an incredible job at sort of detailing everything that's happening. But not everyone is thrilled with what they're reading. And there are massive changes, let's put it that way, that are coming to classes primarily, but also to the abilities those classes are used to using. Things are being removed that have been there since the Friends and Family Alpha of World of Warcraft in 2003. That I played way back in the day. I'll give you an example. Hunter's Mark, gone. Gone! Mm.
gone.
Doesn't exist. There's no more arrows over anyone's head bouncing the entire fight. That's gone, dude.
You know what? I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
You're okay with that going away?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
All right.
It was just a thing you had to do.
I have nostalgia for it.
Another thing you had to do.
I realize. But I mean, so here's the argument a lot are making, though, that other than rogues, everybody is having a lot of things removed. And they were parts of either rotations they liked, or it was part of a build that they really got into. And there are many people just flat out claiming, well, they've killed hunters. This is it. Nobody's going to want to play a hunter again.
Okay, well, let's just like go through what has been just like, this has happened to a lot of classes, but let's just do it with the hunter real quick because that'll just kind of give you an idea of what's going on.
Right.
So distracting shot, gone. Hunter's mark, gone. Lock and load, gone. Lynx rush, gone. Rapid fire, gone. Rapid recuperation, gone.
Serpent sting, done, gone.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Venom, gone. It's just like, they're just like, okay, you know all those buttons you used to have? A lot of buttons. Well, most of those are gone.
You know that keyboard you use with assigned functions?
Yeah. You took off 1 through 9.
Gone.
Zero. Keyboard gone.
Zero, and then you have like the little curly thing. That's it.
Confirmation. They're going to Oculus Rift only controls. You're going to have your hands. That's it.
Gone.
Yeah, all gone.
Gone too. Mouse gone.
Sure.
Fingers on your left hand, gone.
Yeah. Now, we should mention like things like Serpent Sting. Gone, but not gone, because there's other ways that effect is applied now. Like, there's a lot of consolidation happening.
It's funny because they're like, Serpent Sting, gone. Serpent Spread has been renamed Serpent Sting. Yeah. You're like, wait, what? So Serpent Sting not gone, just now it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a bunch of changes. Now, these are obviously, we're talking Hunter here, and there are many others. Tom was looking pretty specifically at what's going on with his mage right now, and some of that stuff had you excited as a look, as a player who likes PvE and a player who enjoys the questing part of the game and all of that. You're not seeing too much here to dislike, right?
No. It seems like what they're doing is really trying to separate the tracks, right? So the arcane stuff is being removed from the Frost and the Fire Mages and put over it for the Arcane Mages to use. And that part of me is like, oh, but, you know, I kind of grew up on Arcane Blast as a young mage. I kind of hate to see it go, but I'm playing as a Fire Mage right now, so I don't really use it. And so most of this stuff just seems to be cleaning things up, making it clear. The one thing that did catch my eye was the mirror is going level 90 only, which I always like that mirror image spell, but it isn't as effective as it needs to be. So I'm like, oh, I can only use it at level 90. Okay, well, once I get to 90, that's no big deal. But it's going from 5% to 50%. So when I get it, it's actually might be useful. We'll see.
Sure. I would actually throw out this question that nobody seems to be talking about online, and I don't know why. I was sure this was going to be a topic of conversation, but Greg Street leaving Blizzard at a time where they are just getting ready to prepare this. And I don't know how much he would have had his hands in this, because it's been like 4 months or something now.
Did he have a hand in this? I mean, I'm sure some of this was planned out.
Well, it had to have been for a while, sure. But I mean, he was, you know, he's the systems guy, so definitely these changes to classes would have been under his purview. The question does this show a sea change from his design methods to somebody else's, or is this indicative of something he was working on anyway? I'm just curious about it. There's a tendency in my head to go, well, with Greg gone, you approach it with maybe different sensibilities. It's not that they got
Greg
rid of
Street,
Greg.
Gone.
Yeah, Greg Street, gone. New guy.
Wait, is that in this patch note somewhere?
That was in the patch
note. Ghostcrawler, gone.
Bill Simmons renamed Greg Street. Yeah, something like that. But with him out of there, you know, I just wonder. I wonder how much of this is new direction, or if this is all going to happen anyway. I'm sure it was to some degree, because the squish and everything else combined was going to make for a kind of a new game. And we're not just seeing... like, people are seeing these abilities be removed and consolidated as something separate from the squish, and I see it as kind of the same philosophy. The item squish is really an idea that you have to apply to almost everything, because this is like a button squish. We've got too many action bars, and I think it was Dark Anders or somebody on Twitter yesterday said the reason that rogues are being relatively untouched is because they were already pretty efficient this way, right? Somebody said they compared them to a shark.
Perfect class.
They compared them to a shark, a perfectly evolved bit of sea life, is how they put it, which is an interesting way to think of your rogue, I suppose. But bottom line is, I mean, here, we're going to go down the major stuff, and then we can get into some of this nitty and the gritty like we're talking about. So the squish is in there, the big number smash, that's happening. We all knew about that. New row of talents has been added for level 100, and new Draenor perks from levels 91 to 99.
It's kind of weird to me that it's like, all right, every 15 levels, then every 10 levels.
Yeah, it's okay. Weird, right? Very weird.
It is weird, but I understand. It's just, what are they going to do?
Well, they need that, or they do a, 15 levels for the next expansion?
Well, they would have had to like retool the whole thing and make it every 10 levels or something to make it fit, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That sounds like too much work. Look at all the work they've already done.
Well, I hadn't even thought about this, but back when they put in the new talent system and it was only every 15 levels or whatever, that was during a time where it only affected you retroactively for characters you might be leveling beside your mains, because there were no, you know, every 15 levels in retrospect is not that big a deal. But moving forward, it's not like you can do, you know, if you only have 10 levels, in this case, that's all we have, you're not going to do it every 5 levels suddenly again or something, mm-hmm, as much as I'd like that. But then they'd have that same problem again. They're going to have button creep and you're going to have ability creep. And before you know it, you're going to have too much of this stuff. Anyway, so that's all been added in. I'm actually kind of excited about the perk system as it stands right now, as it's being designed. I think that looks pretty interesting. Garrisons are in the new feature that is available in Draenor, where you build your base, recruit your followers, send them on missions. That's part of this alpha. We had a really interesting phone call about somebody has kind of a wish list for that, and we'll see if that ever happens.
Do you get to name your garrisons?
I don't know. I wonder if they've ever mentioned that. I know you can't name your dudes in it, which I wouldn't mind being able to do.
I would name mine Keeler.
Keeler?
Garrison Keeler.
Yeah.
Keeler the Garrison.
That's pretty good. Would he just stand around and tell folk tales and stuff?
Talk about Lake Wobegon. Yeah.
Lots of lore.
Yeah. That'd be great, actually. He'd be the panda, just sitting on his little haunches and telling stories. I like that idea.
Oh, yeah. He would make a great panda.
Right. Hit and expertise have been removed, so we knew that was coming. They're no longer needed in order to, what they say, quote, to reliably land attacks, unquote. So zero. Yeah,
you still have a chance to get parried, right?
Right.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. And if you're dual wielding, you have an automatic 15% chance of missing. That's a different thing, though.
With your offhand, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, but you're 100% on your main, I think.
I think both have 17% chance to miss.
17. Okay. All right.
But that's just to balance out the fact that you're hitting twice as often.
Let's see. Pace of healing has been adjusted to allow for more tactical decision making. This is all their healing stuff they've been talking about for weeks. I feel like that all this preparation on getting us informed about what they were going to do with healing was very strategically placed in the minds of gamers to cut down on freak out. In other words, if they had launched these patch notes and it was the first we were hearing about these massive healing changes, oh man, there would have been rioting in the streets.
What I really like about these notes, though, is they really explained their thought process behind everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like they go into detail the reasons for why they're making these changes. And when you look at it and you go, oh my God, like they're just dumbing this game down. Like they're taking out everything. But then you look at it and they're like, well, you know, some of this stuff is frustrating to deal with and we don't want you to feel frustrated. And so we're getting rid of this. And it all kind of makes sense when you look at it that way.
I tend to trust Blizzard on this stuff. They've never really, I mean, I was having a back and forth on Twitter this morning with Christian Nairn, TV's Hodor, and he's excited. And he said, I said, what do you think of all this stuff? Pretty crazy. And I'm trying to find his reply and I can't. But he basically, his reply was essentially, I trust Blizzard. They haven't let me down before. And that's kind of how I look at these things. I remember when hunters were doomed after Wrath. Do you remember all that talk?
Well, like, I definitely remember when we switched from mana to focus and people just being like, what? Yeah, no, yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah. You're ruining hunters. You've destroyed hunters. I'm never going to play a hunter again.
But I honestly, like, I'm so much happier now than I was before. Like having to switch into aspect of the Viper and all that crap, like mm-hmm, that was stupid. Yeah. So
redundant, boring, didn't really do much for you as a player. Sure.
And right now it's like, it feels very like there's the challenges, like keeping up focus without capping focus, which is a new thing that we didn't have to worry about before. But it's really interesting to deal with. And it's, I really like the way hunters are. And so again, like you said, you have to trust the team that hasn't let you down yet.
Right.
And the game is like still as fresh as it ever was. So,
or you have to trust the team that even when they've made a wrong turn, that they'll correct. Like that's to me, it's the long tail. It always has been about this development of this game. It's never been about, oh my gosh, you're taking away arrows. We don't have to buy arrows anymore. This game sucks. Like that's such a weird attitude to take.
No more arcane dust. Screw you, Blizzard.
Oh, I'd love it. The day with no arcane dust is a day I long for, right? Like, I tend to agree with a lot of their design philosophy, but I know there are hardcores out there that immediately sort of get defensive and whatever, but they're the kind of team and teams, really. I mean, for the Diablo team to suck it up and go, you know what? The auction house thing was a mistake. We screwed up. We didn't know. And really, how would you know until you deployed it? It fundamentally changed the core of why that series is venerable and amazing.
Well, they're also all sleeping on an entire pile of money while they go, hey, you know what? This is enough money.
It's a good point.
That was a mistake.
We made enough from that mistake. Let's move on. Yeah. There's a cynical take to every corner of this.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But the way
I'll go that path.
I like that. But the way I look at it is this simple. If it's something that's detrimental to the experience and to their player base, they tend to right the ship every time. They have a history of it. So to suddenly go, these patch notes are proof that Blizzard has lost complete touch with their player base is silly and ridiculous. So Tom, I'm throwing this to you here. Let's have a little philosophical question. You as a player, you're a pretty even-handed, even-minded guy. That's why I like you.
I try.
Well, that and your suave hair. So when somebody, as a player of this game, when they present you with, here's a pile of changes, what attitude are you taking? Like, get away from my stuff. I don't like change. Or do you approach this as, a new way to play and I should try it?
I agree with you guys that the way they've gone about these patch notes is really smart to say, whoa, 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 before we tell you what's changing, which I know most of you are going to skip reading this, but here's why.
Yeah.
So that it's out there. Like, here's our rationale behind this. We're not just taking stuff out at random. You know, it used to be in the old days, the patch notes would come and it'd be like, this change. It was kind of abrupt. And you're like, but why? Why have you done that? For instance, in the hit and expertise removal, they explain hit and expertise were not fun stats. They acted to remove a penalty instead of making you stronger. And that sort of encapsulates the philosophy with all of their changes. I mean, there are some changes they make for balance and this and that. That mostly applies to newer stuff, though. They've got that pretty good in the bulk of the game. But what they want to do is make it so that you're not just running around doing drudgery, that you're doing things that give you that reward stimulus, because that's why you play a game. I know Dill's probably identified with this. I've been running a fantasy baseball league for a long time, and we messed around with different stats that we would use to count for points. We tried home runs against 1 year, which meant you had a pitcher, and every time someone hit a home run against him, that counted against your team. Everyone hated that.
Because there's no fun in it.
Because all it was negative feelings every time something happened. What you want are positive feelings. You want, oh, this, I did this and then I got this reward. And maybe it doesn't always work, but you know, if you can make it work, it will happen. I think that's what most of these changes are targeted towards, is let's make it so that what you're doing is an attempt to get something and win and do something fun, not, well, I have to do this to play the game. You know, I have to build up my hit or I'm just going to suck.
Right.
That's not fun. And a lot of the reaction to the changes tends to be the sort of, well, when I was a freshman, people hazed me reaction, you know, when I was a kid, I walked up hill both ways in the snow. So you should too. And that's not really a good reason to keep something.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually, so I think what they're going for here is more of like if I were to talk to somebody who was a new player and I didn't really teach them how to play a hunter. And then at the end of the fight, I was like, all right, so just go ahead and tell me what you did. And they're like, well, I did arcane shot over and over again until I was out of focus. I'm like, okay, hold on. You were supposed to put hunter's mark up. Then you were supposed to apply serpent sting. Then you were supposed to do this shot, then this shot in this order. And then you were supposed to pop all your cooldowns. And they'd be like, well, how am I supposed to know I'm going to do all that? Well, now what they're doing is, you know, and then I'd be like, well, you're a noob. So
because you read WoWhead, dude. And, that's, you know, why.
Yeah. Yeah. So now what they're doing is they're basically going like, okay, all of that busy work, all of the like things like, well, I just got to make sure all my stuff is in order here before I start this fight. Like, they're just like, no. How about you just go in and fight? Like, let's just have them fight and do the fun part of fighting. Not this like, okay, got to apply this and then I got to apply that. It's very important I do this before I do that. And they're taking out all that crap, which I got to admit is kind of crap. Like, it's just, there to do. It's stuff to do. It's not.
Well, and
you're not having fun applying Hunter's Mark. You know,
there's no strategy to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, well, you just have to do it, or else your damage is not as good.
If you look at hit in a historical view, I mean, hit is a old school statistic thing, whatever attribute that has been around since the Dungeons and Dragons days. So there's always been this idea that if you're going to make an RPG, you need to have this thing where it's harder to land a hit, or to, you know, you're not always going to nail something. There's the roll of the dice that says, oh, well, you only rolled a 2, so you missed, or you rolled a 6, so you hit. This is basically kind of a bold change in that you're saying historically, all right, well, that's all well and good for tabletop. It's all well and good for other kinds of game experiences, but this may not be well and good for WoW, and may not have been for quite a while now.
Yeah,
that's an interesting thing. I think the removal of expertise is one thing, and some of these other things being removed, they're all kind of big deals. But I think it's important to note how big of a deal, at least historically, the idea of hit is. Because hit is not just some new-to-the-table idea in video games. This is an old, old, old thing. Yet, I don't have any remorse about it going away. I've never liked it. I don't even like it in tabletop, other than you need a mechanic to say, well, did you hit that creature or didn't you? And that works in dice games, right? That makes sense. There's a kind of a gamble there. But you don't feel that in a video game. You're not watching the dice roll. It isn't five of your friends sitting around a table hoping he rolls a 2 when you hope you roll a 6. It just happens, and so it looks like your character's dumb and there was nothing you could do about it to affect it. Whereas the world around you, you're doing all kinds of things to affect the world you're in. You're staying out of the poop. You're applying this spell. You're doing this other thing. You're tapping that guy, whatever. So to me, it's a pretty bold move to remove it, but I don't feel any remorse for it like I might say for Hunter's Mark, just purely from a nostalgic point of view.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Silver Wisp in the chat room says, how about we take all those other pieces out of chess and just keep the king and queen, because only those matter. This is not at all the same thing. Like when you're playing World of Warcraft, the strategy is not like moving chess pieces at all. Like the strategy is still there in all the other things you're doing. The strategy was not there in the things that you were just required to do. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like if in chess you had to like build up wood points before you could put your pawns on the board.
Before you can move your pawn.
Yeah.
You got to go back and you got to purchase a pawn, whatever, like a pawn mover. Yeah. Like that's required. You're like, okay, well, can I do that? Yeah, sure. You got to do it. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
It's just a thing you got to do first.
It's a barrier to entry, not a strategic
thing. Sure. You just play chess. Instead of having a fly to swat out of the way, you just play chess. Play freaking chess where the real strategy hits, where you really have to, you know, go for it and be a player or whatever. Here's a question, though. Go ahead.
Actually, it would be like, okay, my queen's taking your pawn. Well, my pawn dodged your queen this time.
Yeah, dodged it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Good point.
Your queen didn't cap out expertise. I'm sorry.
That's too bad. She's dead, and the game is completely flipped.
No, it's a good point that you make, Silver Wisp, and I'm glad that you did. Because
we're not making
fun of you, but yeah,
it's just
these are totally different things, and like
it's the game of analogy.
The chess aspect is still going to like the moving out of things, the getting, you know, the doing things in the correct order. All that stuff is still going to be there. Like when you're playing like PvP. If they took out line of sight or something, like, oh, now you can just shoot through pillars. Like, then I'd be like, okay, what's going on here?
Okay, what are we doing, guys?
This is not, like, and I wouldn't call it, like Schmalden saying, is this considered dumbing the game down? I wouldn't even call it that. I would call it, like, just making it more fun. Like, just getting rid of the stuff that didn't, in the end, really matter. Like, if you're playing PvP, I assume everybody... And when you're like doing arena, I assume everyone else is doing these things that you're supposed to do to make your character exactly as strong as you can make him. So we're already all doing that.
Yeah.
So what's the point of all of us doing
that? Before y'all send a bunch of angry emails or tweets saying we're nothing but a Blizzard apologist for these crazy changes, I should make it clear that I look at this stuff very cautiously optimistically because I don't know any better until I play it. So I see these changes and I go, wow, on the surface, that seems like a big deal, but I don't really know until we get there. So we'll have alpha accounts soon enough. When they get out of friends and family or close
absolutely.
To that, we'll know.
Absolutely. It's a good point to make is that we haven't seen this in action. Like I haven't gone into my hunter that no longer has Arcane Shot and played him.
And we may hate it. We may go, ooh, that was a mistake. Blizzard, what the hell are you doing? And we may completely flip on those, but I don't know until I'm in the milieu of it all. I don't know.
Well, I guess what I would say is the explanation they've given in the patch notes makes sense to me. Yeah. Whether it ends up dumbing the game down or not, we have to actually play it to find out.
Exactly.
Right? I'm not saying everything they've done is perfect. The question, the reasoning seems sound, which is we want to take away the things that actually don't make the game better. And I guess you can make an argument that taking away hit dumbs the game down because it's, you know, suddenly the battle is not as realistic. It's not as modeled as it would be in a dice game. But I don't feel like that's the strong point of Warcraft anyway. It's the one-on-one fight is not the centerpiece. It's all of the other things. It is more like chess in that way, that all of the other things in a battle that are happening are important, like position and distance and all of that sort of thing. So I feel like that probably is a good call, but we'll see. Maybe we'll all miss it.
What do you guys think?
It's not realistic anyway. It's not like I put on a jacket and suddenly I can hit you better. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, sure.
What's happening in World of Warcraft?
It is like, one of the.
Oh, man, these shoes, dude. I never miss once I put these shoes on.
They all.
Really hard shoes.
To the credit of, I mean, the industry. If you're making an RPG, this is the trope. You know, weird gear has stats on it that make no sense. Somehow they're magically imbued. Sure. But here's a good question. You were just talking about positional stuff, Tom, that got me thinking about one change that's in this list, and that is facing mechanics are being essentially removed. So if you're a rogue and you want to pull off some of that behind the back stuff, you don't need to be behind the back anymore. They're getting rid of that. Oh no, I was off by some percentage of an angle and now I can no longer do it. A lot of people complaining that that is definitely a dumbing down of the game, that provided some, you know, semblance of strategy.
This I can somewhat agree with, because there's a lot of skill to like rogue players who are really good at staying behind you. And that's tough to do. It's not easy if you ever played rogue.
Right.
So I can definitely see the point in this. But again, this one I'm going to have to see play out.
Yeah, that would be if I'm a mage and I could throw a fireball behind me, that would be dumbing down the thing. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So this kind of stuff, it does seem like Blizzard is making a choice to say we're not going to worry about the realism aspect of the battles, though, when they do things like this. And we'll see if that ends up detracting. I think most of these things don't, but you're right, Dills. I agree with you that sounds like one that would.
It seems like it's a slippery slope anyway, either way.
This one, though, the reasoning behind this, again, is it's not very fun to be a hunter and then some really good rogue comes up. And you can never hit him while he's always hitting you because he keeps like running around. Every time you're facing him, he's behind you again. That's not really that fun. So, you know, he might be having a great time, but you're not having
fun. It's fun for the rogue, yeah.
Yeah, like he's like, oh man, this guy could never hit me. This is awesome. This noob, you know.
It's a good title for the show today. It might be fun for the rogue. That's not bad.
Yeah. But, you know, instead it's like you're not having, basically he's got this mechanic that requires him to stay behind you. You've got this mechanic that means I can't hit you now because of that. And they're like, oh, let's just make it so it's fun for both of them and see how that goes. And we'll, you know, I'm sure they've tested this. And
sure.
I don't think they would keep it in if it wasn't working out.
Well, and they're about to test it even more. So this is, people should also remember, we're definitely in alpha, although a lot of stuff is in there. But alpha means this is major testing phase. And trust me, having seen many Blizzard alphas, the stuff changes, man, and sometimes it's drastic. So some of
this
these
is
things
not
are,
the end.
Absolutely, dude. Remember, they have made entire StarCraft models, units that they scrapped, like built a ship or something that was detailed, animated, textured, voice work, and all the mechanics of whatever that thing was got down to, you know, third beta patch, and then killed it completely. So it is not beyond Blizzard to say something now that will change drastically later based on your feedback as players. So I have faith in the system. I may not like every detail of the current patch, but I have faith the system will tend to correct that stuff. A couple other
The facing requirements, though, might get me to play more melee characters, honestly.
Really?
Because that was really frustrating because I'm not good at it. I'm terrible at it.
Right.
That's why I play face roll hunter, you know?
Right.
Because I just stand back and shoot.
Right.
Auto attack, go get a sandwich. But now, like, I might actually play some rogue or some feral druid or something like that. You know, which I have those characters, but I always just got a little frustrated and kind of gave up.
So yeah, now I'm hungry.
Me too, dude. All of the level 100 talents and perks will be available at 90 for testing, so we'll see what those work like. And all characters will now learn a few important major glyphs automatically as they level up. So, man, glyphs more than any other feature in the game seen more changes. I swear, it's like when that thing came out, it was all about inscription, and then you had to get those things made, and then you take the scrolls. that you got, and then you'd have to go into town, go to Orgrimmar, go hang out by the stupid inscription thing and apply it there. And it was a giant, big deal. And they've gotten that thing down to the point where I guess none of it was fun. Again, we're back to that whole thing. Is it any fun or not? And now I already think glyphs are super easy now. The fact that you're just going to auto learn the ones that matter most, it seems like why do we even have that feature? I guess
that's just talents.
I guess.
Like, why have it? That's what, I've never really understood glyphs at all, honestly, except there's a nice little lore thing about scriveners and everything.
Right.
But they just seem like an extra bit of something that I had to go collect. And they're recognizing that and saying, okay, well, that's no fun. So we'll just add them. I'm like, well, if you're just adding them, then it's just a talent. Like,
you get those, and if you can't make them talents because the talent trees are full, then just have them be part of the perk system. I mean, it just feels like it's just another avenue for more perks. I get the gems are that too. You could argue that a lot of things in the game, you could argue gear is that, but at some point you end up with redundancy. And I feel like glyphs continue to be kind of redundant. I like some of the things they do, and not this BlizzCon, but the previous one, if you guys will remember, they said, you know, we want to make glyphs more interesting and less about stats. So they were more like, well, this will proc a cool guy to fight by your side for a couple of seconds, or this one will proc this amazing glowing light out of your head or whatever. And that was a way to do that. And I'm fine with them coming up with ways to make the game more visually interesting or paying off in ways that are less about statistical changes. But I feel like that isn't really happened to glyphs. So at this point, it just feels redundant. So if I was going to make any request to Blizzard to get rid of something, I feel like glyphs have just kind of stayed their welcome. Like, what do we need them for?
Yeah, they're just another way to, at this point, they're just a way to do something kind of fun with your character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're, again, it all comes down to, like, it's just busy work. It's like, okay, everybody has to have this glyph. Okay, cool. So I put that glyph in. Now I'm good to go.
That's how I feel about reforging.
They could just take the damn things out.
Reforging. Oof,
boy. You know, like, any of this stuff, though, is just like another thing. Like, it's all just another way to alter your character a little bit. Like, people in Heroes of the Storm made a big deal about how there's no items to buy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's...
Even you were concerned at first. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there's talents that unlock as you level. And basically, they're doing what the items were doing for you anyway.
Sure.
Which is improving your character as the game goes on. You just don't have to run to a little shop and open up an interface and then, you know, go through all these little icons that maybe you've never seen before. As a new player, just like, that sucks.
Yeah.
So instead, what they did was they're like, here's three options. Pick one.
Well, as a guy who's not a giant Dota enthusiast and but really likes Heroes of the Storm, I really prefer this new way.
It's I think it's great. Yeah. I mean, I tried to get into Dota, and that was like the stuff that kept me out, and that's the stuff that's keeping people out of all of these types of games, is this busy work.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's call like, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I just want to play.
Call me a puss, but I'd rather get the hero's way. Go ahead, Tom. Well, call me a puss. Like,
I can't do it.
What if you had to go, like, when you were a kid, if you had to go to the playground and you had to, like, you know, clean the slide before you could just slide down the damn thing?
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
You would be like, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. No.
That's the price you pay to go down the slide.
Like, oh, well, you're just a noob slider then. Like, you suck at sliding.
Right.
Like, no, I just want to freaking slide.
You know what? I do think there's, you know, people like playing The Sims, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
all.
The Sims is entirely that. Yeah. Like, there's no other thing with The Sims other than, like, doing all the things to make your character do other things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's also called life.
Right.
Yeah. I get that there are some players like, no, I like having to collect arrows for my weapon because I feel like a real hunter then, right? Because you would have to do that. And it seems like it's a playstyle thing where Blizzard's like, yeah, but that's a barrier to entry for a lot of people. It doesn't seem as popular. And there's so many other cool things we can do with this game. We're gonna reduce that Sims-ish aspect to the fighting, but we're going to give you garrisons and we're going to do farming and we're going to do other things that are kind of like that, that are less busy work. Impact the game.
Yeah, but it's because I don't think it's so much that busy work type mechanics don't work in video games. They can, like The Sims is a good example, and like Civ 5 has got a lot of that. And these games that need that, even StarCraft 2, arguably, you know, you got to decide what you're going to spend your freaking crystals and gas on all the time. But those work within the construct of what they are, so they don't detract. These things tend to detract from the larger vessel, you know?
Yeah.
That's
all. Yeah, I mean, everybody who plays WoW has had that feeling of, you know, logging in just to do something that's not playing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to log in and I got to go, like, reforge. Or I got to log in, I just got to go to the auction house and buy some gems real quick. And that's why I logged in. And that isn't really that fun.
Not for you, not for me, not for Tom. And I'll bet you there are going to be some small minority of people where that is fun. That is why they play the game and they like it. But Blizzard has to look at this from the greater body of it all. What are most players doing and what do most players want? And in cases where they can statistically back up their notion of that, they do. And where they can't, they have to make educated guesses and they have to course correct. Why all that is such a problem, I don't know. I completely get why they do what they do. And this idea that they're in a room laughing, going, how can we screw with hunters today? is so short-sighted.
Because they are, Scott. Well, we all know it.
Twisting their mustaches and whatnot. So now this is a little bit of here's a bit of interesting tech part of this, which I was not aware they were even doing, but they're introducing a new file format called the CASC or the CASC. I'll read a quote from them. For nearly 20 years, Blizzard Games have used a file format called MOPAC, MPQ for short, as a way to compress and store game files. We've been able to introduce some great new technology using MPQ, such as our streaming client, but we've really pushed the file format far beyond what it was ever intended to be used for. Today, it becomes the source of a number of technical limitations in World of Warcraft. To address this limitation and help us develop new technologies that will improve everyone's game experience for years to come, we've introduced a new proprietary file format that we call CASC, or Content Addressable Storage Container. We'll be using this new format in Warlords of Draenor alpha and beta tests, and our intent is to convert everyone to a new format in a pre-expansion patch. So this is interesting. If you've played the Heroes alpha, and I know a lot of people haven't, but if you have, you'll notice that a lot of the things you're now unlocking and getting into seem to be streaming to you before you play it. This is all part of that. Now, when I first saw that, I went, oh no, I got to download the multiplayer part. This seems, I guess I'll go get a drink or whatever. It was done in 5 seconds. But the streaming, getting content to you quicker is kind of a big deal when it comes to fixes on the client side. So they do server patches now, hot fixes on the server for something that is server controlled, something in the database, a change to an item level, something weird happening on the server. They fix it there and that's not a problem for you. But when they've had to fix something on Dills's client, for example, like there's a model problem or I don't know, there's some other big issue on the client, that meant a whole patch, which means you have to download it and install it, which means they probably hold on to those things for a while and let other things accumulate before they would force you to get a patch, which means you would get it later.
Yeah.
So the net effect of this is client-side fixes are possible with this new technology, which means you could just be playing your game, never have to patch a thing, and that dragon problem is fixed. So it's good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And Tom, from a tech perspective, because, you know, now I'm springing it on you. Here's why we had John.
Oh, yeah. You're the tech guy.
Now I got you
just for this question. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's cool to see a game as old as this still trying to, you know, for people who think, oh, they're just going to let it go off into obscurity and just keep getting subscriptions for as long as they can. No, I mean, they're fundamentally changing technology. They may be using it across brands and IPs, but it's a cool thing to see a company do that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. 1994 is apparently when MOPAC, not the highway for you Austinites, but the file format, was
implemented.
You got
to take MOPAC to go everywhere, by the way, when you're in Austin. I don't understand how that works, but it goes everywhere.
Weird.
It only goes north and south, but it goes everywhere.
But it goes everywhere.
Yeah. The idea that we're still using any file format from 94 should make everyone quake. I mean, think of how many file formats from 94 are still in use. DOC has been deprecated, kind of still in use. They'd prefer you use DOCX. GIF file formats, because they're small and fun and they can do, you know.
I use bitmap for all my images.
Yeah, right?
That's all I use.
Yeah. Everyone's streaming their video in real media still, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, wait, that came after 94, right? So I mean, come on. When I saw that they're like, for 20 years, we've been using this file format, I'm like, geez.
Yeah.
That's a technically impressive feat that they've been able to pull off this game still using a file format like that is so integral to the game, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just some, oh, well, you know, we got a couple of TXT files or something. Sure, that'll last forever. But something that has to do what this file format has done is incredible. So yes, please bring us the new file format and move at least into the 2000s, if not the 2010s.
Yeah.
How is this? Did they explain how this is going to work on like patch day or whatever? Like when you purchase the expansion, you download it, is it like going to go in and just like replace everything?
I suspect we're going to get we're going to get preloaded on everything beforehand.
Yeah, the installer is going to actually like remove all the mopacks.
I'll bet you that's exactly what it will do. I'll bet you.
I imagine some mopacks will stick around because they just aren't worth replacing. Right. But I could be wrong about that. I'm just guessing.
Those mopacks sticking around.
I'm no engineer, so I don't understand exactly what's going to happen behind the scenes. But
that part will be interesting because we are talking about a fundamental uprooting of the current tech. So is it going to be a mess? Are we going to have days of problems? Like, we don't know.
Well, that's why they've been stretching Mopac as far as possible, because they don't want to have to go through the mess that can happen when you replace a file format like that. So fingers crossed.
I'll be killing demons in Westmarch. It's fine. I'll wait while the patch comes down. It's not a problem. All right. Well, there's all
playing Hearthstone on your iPad. Well,
That's true. Definitely have it by then. Okay. We're going to jump straight to Town Crier because we know, guys, that out there listening, we know there are tons of things in these patches. This patch notes, it's a thing that we have not touched on.
If you want to just like get a list of the patches, like the patch notes, just read the list. Like if you listen to this podcast to hear us say Monk, Stance of the Wise Serpent, no longer increases hit or expertise. Like
we're not going to.
Oh, we should totally do that.
terrible idea.
This is audible.
Don't freaking talk about it. Like we're going to discuss it. But just read them if you want to know.
Penguin Audio and Audible.com present
Warlords of Draenor Alpha Patch Notes, narrated by Dills Gregory.
That's a terrible idea. I don't want that in all my life. All right, well, let's get to your calls.
Okay. Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Time for the Town Crier. This is where your emails and your phone calls get answered. And if you keep them short and interesting, likely they'll get played on the show. Call us at 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3WOW. Leave us a message. Play right here on the show. This brought to you by Slash Loot's Deal of the Day. Yesterday it was the Daily Tech News Show shirt.
Yes, it was.
For Tom Merritt.
Full sale.
Yeah, it was a good deal, or good sales day too, as my understanding. Okay. Today is your chance to get the Instance T-shirt, 15% off. That's a whole like $3 off the shirt. And today and Saturday only, so it's actually 2 days. Today and tomorrow, you can get the Instance T-shirt at slashloot.com. Actually, we got a tiny URL to take you straight to the deal of the day, which is tiny.cc/loot. And get it now, 15% off. All right, we got a call here talking about your alts and garrisons.
Hey guys, just wanted to bounce a quick idea off you. I know with Warlords of Draenor, we have garrisons coming, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if we could put our alts even at a certain level and see them there in that zone, and maybe even have them be the ones that go out and do our mining and stuff like that. But even if we could just see our alts in that zone, I think that would be a lot of fun. Thanks. Again, love the show.
There's no indicator that they're doing this, but I do like the idea that Roy, my shaman, something would be sitting in the corner whittling wood or whatever. Like that's a cool idea, but I don't.
That's what he does when he's not out adventuring.
He's whittling wood, right?
Is that what
he hangs
calls
out
it?
Your garrison? Yeah.
But it seems like a
Roy,
cool...
you're gonna go blind if you keep whittling that wood.
I mean, the key here. I mean, what this caller is really asking for is customization, which WoW traditionally has not given you a ton of. It's probably the least customizable character models, beard choices, hair choices, color choices. Like all that stuff has always been limited. You can't even change the body, weight, height, style of your character. So a long complaint about WoW has been, hey, where's my customization? And as we enter in a new era of gaming, and we're in it now, really, where things like Minecraft and so many indie titles have kind of changed the face of what the player gets to build within your game space. I feel like Blizzard has to start leaning into that more and less about it. We still want the curated experience, but this is a step in the right direction. Garrisons are in letting us do more with the game. I wish they would do more. We talked last week about, hey, why aren't more Blizzard games moddable? Why isn't the Diablo 3 engine moddable and all these kinds of questions? Whereas they used to be in the past, it would be nice to see them doing more of that, I think, in the future.
Sure.
So why not? Let me have my guys. Let me name them what I want. Boom.
And if you have your alts, they're already built, right? Those character profiles are there.
Yeah.
So theoretically, you could match it. I mean, obviously, the art has to be different for the garrison characters, but you could match it one to one.
Yeah. Why not? Why couldn't they be? I mean, look, Dills, how many fights have we been in raids where part of the mechanic of the raid is a version of GURP is pooped out someplace and we have to shoot him down? or I get chased by a ghost of myself and it looks just like me. So I know they have
or
the
mirror
tech.
Image. I do it all the
time. Sure. They have the tech to just quickly duplicate a thing. So why not have those guys wandering around? I'm all in for this. I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely. It'd be totally simple.
Got another one here about gear and the future.
Yeah, this is Azarog from Azjel and the Rub. I just had a question for you guys about the new gear. Since you're only going to have one set, I noticed there's a lot of certain aesthetic things to different specializations. Do you think that they will change depending on your specialization? Anyway, thanks, guys. Love the show. Hortside.
So that's interesting. Same idea, though, right?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but...
Well, I know they're not going to. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say I don't know.
It's definitely not happening? Okay.
It's not in their patch notes. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think it would be kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm in my PvP gear, I look very much more like I'm a dude ready to battle other dudes, right? Than I do when I'm in my PvE gear.
Sure.
That's my dragon hunting gear, you know?
It's your cozy pajamas. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, you know, the PvP gear is much, like, there's more spikes and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and everything's just a little bit, like, bigger and more kind of militaristic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would be kind of cool if, like, depending on what you were doing, it would kind of alter the look. Like, if you were in your healing spec, everything would be, like, a little bit, you know, lighter colors or whatever. Then when I switch into, like, damage.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I could see.
Could be cool.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're already giving some classes the ability to sort of change who they are for a moment anyway. You know, warlocks mm-hmm. can turn into that freaking fell demon thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know what? The other thing, too, is it'd be a visual indicator of what spec you're in. So you wouldn't, like, pop in and be, like, trying to heal when you're in the wrong spec. I mean, obviously, your talents and all your buttons would change. But, you know,
right?
Take some of the dummy out.
Yeah, why not? Take out the dummy. That's all
I'm
saying.
Take the dummy out.
That's it for calls. Thank you guys for those. We really appreciate it. Leaves us with one thing, and that's this.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week this week brought to you by GameTimeZone.com. Use the code Warcraft for 5% off at GameTimeZone.com. All right, the Battle.net app now lets you chat with people while you're not in their games. So if you just have the launcher up and you double-click on Dill's name, I can say, hey, man, what's going on? And you can say, I'm busy. Quit bugging me while I'm playing Heroes.
You can freak me out is what you can do because I had no idea this was happening. And then I closed down something. Don't know what it was. I can't remember now. And there was like five messages. I was like, what the hell?
Yep.
So, yeah. Yep.
It's
what the freak out deals.
They promised a long time ago. It's nice to see it in there.
Yeah.
It's good. Have you used it yet, Tom? You talking to anybody in game, outside of game, any of that?
No, I haven't found it happen outside of game yet. Hmm. That's interesting. I actually have BattleNet up right now.
Yeah. So you just double click on a name of somebody in a game, up will come a thing, and you just start chatting.
Garrett's busy.
It's a little. It's a little mysterious as to how you start one. Am I in? I probably am. Yeah, send me.
How do I? Oh, chat. There we go. I'd right click.
You right click.
Yeah, the right click's there. It's not super obvious. Oh, yeah.
I'm still waiting for like online and yet showing as offline mode, though.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
I wish that would happen now.
Like, when can I like call in sick from work and then my boss doesn't know I'm actually playing World of Warcraft?
I know it's part of your therapy. Buddy, I know it's part of your recovery. I get it. I know where you're coming from, but he doesn't understand that. So you want to be able to show offline to that guy.
No, I'm sick, man. That's why I have to stream all day. Don't you understand?
No, for me, I just want to, sometimes I just want to play a game and not be having 50 chats at once.
Sure.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I want to get in and talk to everybody, but sometimes I just want to play.
Garrett's like, hi, Tom.
Did he?
He's like, I'm not busy.
Oh, that
Garrett.
He's so funny.
Oh, that Garrett.
I ain't busy.
He's a jokester. There you go, and that's out. Also, I just wanted to mention this. Ahmed Jabber, or Jabbar, I don't know how you'd say it, sent this awesome mosaic of our instance logo, like the current album art, all made up of tiny little WoW icons.
Yeah, crazy.
It's awesome, and he sent me this high-res one, which is too big to post anywhere. But
where's
like,
the link?
It's 80 it meg. It's on Twitter. I put it on Twitter this morning. Check that out at Instant Show on Twitter, and you can see this thing. It's just all those little ability icons, items from your bag, whatever, made this giant mosaic logo, and
That's just cool. Totally
cool. Yeah, I think he's got some software, or some app, or somehow did that. I doubt he went and did it individually, but his email wasn't specific, so maybe he did. But it's pretty neat. So go check it. That's at Instant Show on Twitter.
All right, Terpster is tweeting some video of him playing a goat game.
Yeah, so he just
That's why he's missing the instance. Here's what goat simulator.
I just got a text. He says, "Hey mate, sorry. In a meeting with Blizzard, this is just a minute ago. In a meeting with Blizzard of all people, the show went well. Sorry for missing. At least no big news drop this week." Anyway, well, he'll be back next week. Don't worry.
I'm walking here.
See you later.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Hey. That's it for your drop of the week. That's it for your week of the drop. That's it. We're done. That's the show. Tom Merritt, I cannot thank you enough for sitting in with us today, man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I am probably not the right man for the job, but I was available.
You weren't the man we wanted, but you're the man we needed. Tonight, you and I will be doing a brand new Current Geek 5 p.m. Yes. Speaking of old instance favorites, Randy Jordan will be joining us again for the second time. And also we'll have with us one Chinbeard, a.k.a. Bill Duran. I guess it's the other way around, a.k.a. Chinbeard. Right. He'll be on, that's going to be great. Right here at the same live space, 5 p.m. Go to frogpants.com/live if you want to check it out, watch us on video and hear us. That would be wonderful. Anything else, Tom, to talk about, mention?
Sure. Don't forget about the 10-State comic that Len Peralta and I are doing. We're trying to get it going on Patreon. Mm. I know there's a lot of Patreons out there, but this is one where you only pay if we actually put out a comic. So if you were interested in 10-State, before, or you've read it and you want to see more of it, it's patreon.com/Len Peralta, and it's a comic book about people trapped in a dome, and there's a little apocalyptic something, and they thought they were going to be part of a reality show. Oops. Check it out.
What were they thinking? And I did an alt cover for that, which can be seen as well.
Yeah, the alt cover you did is amazing.
I really enjoyed that.
You can go to Len Peralta's store and buy the back issues, the first round, if you wish as well.
All right, nice. Dills, what's going on? We got new baseball season started, so I know you got stuff going on.
Go Cardinals.
Giants won their first series. So that was good.
Good.
Beat up on the old Diamondbacks, who are in last place.
In Arizona, too, right?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I totally missed the Diamondbacks Dodgers playing in like Australia or whatever. Like, I totally missed that even happened. Mm. I'm such a bad baseball fan. I only follow my own team. Like, well, the Giants did this. That's all I know.
That means TortureCast is back, though, right?
Yeah, but TortureCast is back. We did a live preseason season preview. Preseason preview? Is that a thing? It is now. We did it, and it happened. So if you want to listen to that, go. It's up. Of course, you can listen to The Angry Chicken every Monday. And now, into the Nexus. So look forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. Willie Dills on Twitter. Of course, Tom's at Ace Detect. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find this show at Instant Show. Big thanks to Matthew Oxley for our theme. We love that freaking thing. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love that kind of stuff. Big thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, who does great work keeping the show notes up and what's going on the website at theinstance.net. Terpster's also at the_T, but he don't need no help with his Twitter followers. He's got Yog stink on him. Facebook.com/theinstance. Find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for you, for you, and for everybody. For you.
It's going to do it for you, man.
Yeah, it's going to do it for you. See you next time.
Teething pains plague new Horde government. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. With the fall of Orgrimmar and Garrosh Hellscream now seemingly inevitable, the leaders of the Horde Rebel faction are feeling pressure to get their management structure in order. Earlier this week, likely future Warchief Vol'jin announced the alpha release of the Horde 2.0 government in areas that it controls. It features a more decentralized setup than the existing Horde, with each race being responsible for much more of the day-to-day administration of their respective regions. Given that Orgrimmar will need to be completely rebuilt post-siege, this more federated solution is not surprising. The new system is rather rough around the edges, however. The Undercity reports long lines at the Riding License Bureau as revised identification requirements are combining with the fact that nobody looks like their pre-undeath pictures to slow things to a crawl. The Goblins are not happy about a new financial transaction tax, and Chen Stormstout made quite a scene when he discovered that the new cask record system had nothing to do with beer, but rather stood for Kalimdor Aggregate Statistics Collection. Hopefully these and other bugs will be worked out in the coming months. In other news, speculators believe the new Horde budget includes a large incentive program for building of homes, keeps, and even small garrisons. Hovel Depot has already begun running advertisements for building materials with the slogan, "You can craft it, we can help." Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey, Scott Terps, Dills, Unison's Gurus, Velkera with here, or Velk for short. I'm a long-time listener and YouTuber. I wanted to leave a quick message, maybe not so quick, to give some of my thoughts on Blizzard's marketing with Hearthstone and the new expansion. I've been an avid listener to the instance for the last 7 or 8 years. Over the course of that time, I've stopped playing World of Warcraft 3 times. The first 2 times, I gave in to temptation and resubscribed after listening to you guys and Randy. Seriously, you guys should be on Blizzard's payroll. I know you've caused many ex-players to return to the game. It's mental. Anyway, my wife and I had managed to wean ourselves away from WoW and stop playing somewhere in the Cataclysm expansion, so around about 2010, I think. We've stayed away, but I've kept on listening. You guys started talking a few weeks back about Hearthstone, and I caught Total Biscuit, another YouTuber making Hearthstone videos, as well as the Angry Chicken podcast, and I decided, since it was free to play, I'd give it another shot. Didn't seem like it was my kind of game, but it looked interesting. My wife joined me as well. One thing led to another, and with all the flashy colours, story and fun to be had in there, as well as you guys going on about the new expansion and all the content, we've kind of been jabbed with the PokeWow substick. I'm pretty sure sometime in the next month or so we're going to be pre-ordering Warlords of Draenor, or Wodnor for short, as I like to call it, and getting stuck into the tail end of the Mists of Pandaria content. What can be said, but WTF, Blizz, stop making me want to buy your stuff. I know how you feel, Scott. I'm off to buy Diablo 3 now because of you guys. Well, keep up the good work. I'll be listening. Velk out.
Ready, aim, what?
This is Hunter Talk. I am Johnny Feisty, the Hunting Hunter, with tips to make your hunter hunterific. This week's topic is... What's going on, Flappy? What? Oh, why didn't you say something? So I've just been sitting here looking at the Blizzard Hearthstone forums for how long? Oh, that's incredible. Wait, are we recording? What are we talking about? Oh, welcome to Hunter Talk. We're here to talk about boosting your character to level 90. Joining me, as mostly, is my companion and co-host, Flappy the Dragonhawk. As you might already know, Flappy and I are not yet at max level because... You're at max level?
Mm-hmm.
What about me? This is ridiculous. Pets can't use the level boost to... You used my boost to 90.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? What about... Ugh, I've got to go. Join us next time after I spend some time talking to Blizzard customer support. Thanks for listening to Hunter Talk. Big ups to Flappy.
That's me.
Be sure to follow me at Johnny Feisty on Twitter. JOHNNYFEISTY. Because he likes you.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade. Now, as you probably already know, warlocks have always been seen as a threat. Which makes sense, because after all, we are warlocks. But for some of the newest members to the class who may have a new boosted level 90, I want to offer a really quick safety tip. 4 of our demons have natural taunts and threat generation abilities, which are great for questing, but it's not so great if they're pulling from your tank in a dungeon or a raid. The Voidwalker and Voidlord have the ability called Suffering.
Suffering.
Which is a powerful taunt. And the ability called Threatening Presence.
Threatening Presence.
Which is their aggro generator. For demonology, the Felguards and Wrathguards also have the aggro generator Threatening Presence as well. Now, both of these abilities can be turned off by right-clicking on them on your pet bar. And if they're not listed, just open up your spellbook, click the pet tab at the bottom, and there you'll find them listed alphabetically. So for all the newer warlocks out there, let me be the first to welcome you to the dark side, and to remind you once again to turn off your taunts. Otherwise, you'll make the rest of us look bad. This has been Amy Jade, and you can find me at warlockery.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Reputation Boost, helping you gain that all-important reputation in the World of Warcraft. This week, it's the Horde's turn in the Jade Forest as we take a look at the Forest Hosen. Enemies of the Pearlfin, this group of Hosen is united with the Horde. You'll soon find that they love you for your explosive fishing skills. You'll also have to beat back your fear of bugs, and you'll learn about their overall love for explosives. as you fight the Pearlfin and help them in their journey. Just like the Pearlfin for the Alliance players, you'll be naturally led to this faction following the early quests in the Jade Forest. These two factions mirror each other in the amount of effort it takes to be exalted with them. After just a few quests, you'll be finished and you'll have beaten back the Pearlfin forces, and you'll be ready to move on to bigger and better things. Again, with this faction, there's nothing really spectacular to be had. You still will be able to get Fishy, the fish in a bubble, to go along with you in your journey. We'll be back next week with an even better tip. We're going to be looking at a very enticing faction, so be sure to stay tuned. Remember to follow us at repboost.blogspot.com. Also, if you have a faction you'd like us to look over, leave us a comment. Until then, this is Frosty, and may the light be with you.
Welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Vixorcus, Draenei Paladin, and Lore Master of the Archives. As I was saying when last we met, after taking refuge on Draenor from tens of thousands of years of pursuit by the Burning Legion, my people, the Draenei, had found a peaceful balance with our new homeworld and with our neighbors, the Orcs. But our respite was short-lived because in due time, the Legion found us once again. Rather than attack us directly, Kil'jaeden chose instead to turn the Orcish clans against us. I have already recounted the tragedy of Gromash Hellscream, the formation of the Horde, and the corruption of nearly an entire race. But that was not the only atrocity committed by the Legion on Draenor. The fell magics of the Orcs' warlocks had a disastrous effect on the Draenei whom they touched, and many brothers and sisters were turned into corrupted, primitive forms. The Krokul, or Broken, lost their Naru-given ability to commune with the Light, and many aligned themselves with Illidan the Betrayer to sate their thirst for fell power. Some were corrupted so thoroughly that they became feral, living in tribes and hostile to nearly all other species. They became known as the Lost Ones. As few of us first escaped the grasp of the Burning Legion, even fewer of us remained to flee our home yet again, this time in the Exodar, which is how we came to arrive on Azeroth. I will be traveling to perform further research next week, so the Rogue will be here once again. Until next time, may the light embrace you.
Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter or visit azeroth-archives.tumblr.com.
Welcome back to another Mega Minute with Megacode, a mini-cast on all things Holy Paladin. This week I give a brief synopsis of the Paragons of the Klaxia encounter from the Siege of Orgrimmar raid. This fight requires 2 tanks and 2 to 6 healers depending on your raid's difficulty. Now instead of going over all of the abilities from all 9 Paragons, with quite a few being somewhat forgiving, I'll simply review the abilities I feel can easily wipe the raid if not dealt with accordingly. Now like always, I keep Beacon on one tank while healing the raid or focusing on the tanks depending on who's taking damage. Eternal Flames or Selfless Healer are both strong talents that can get the job done. If spec'd into Eternal Flame, I keep my hots rolling onto both tanks while spot healing the raid using Holy Radiance, Daybreak Holy Shocks, and Light of Dawns. If I talent Selfless Healer, it's all about spreading those Mastery Shields and using a buffed Divine Light if you see a tank taking big damage. I also time my cooldowns for those major damaging abilities and make good use of my hand spells. Bloodletting is an ability that summons blood adds. If the adds reach the boss, they heal him. Our stun, Fists of Justice, is handy for helping the DPS burn them down. Aim is an ability in which a random player is stunned in place and after 5 seconds takes major physical damage from a beam that can be split by other players standing 5 yards of one another on that beam. Hand of Protection is useful for mitigating some of the damage to that stunned player. Also try and top off everyone before and after aim goes off. Holy Avenger is nice for this. Flash is an ability where Karaz will charge random players, and if you get hit, you're affected by the whirling debuff causing major physical damage. Look for the green line on the ground and sidestep out of it. Hurl Amber are damaging void zones on the ground, which can easily be seen and avoided by moving out of them. Shield Bash, Vicious Assault combo can cause some major physical damage to the tank. I'd like to pop a Hand of Sacrifice onto that tank to reduce damage taken. Insane Calculation links players with fire lines. The farther you are apart, the least amount of damage you will take. I find it best to just sit still and get healed up. I spot heal those players with Holy Radiance, Daybreak Holy Shocks, followed by Light of Dawn. Now the last ability worth mentioning is Toxic Injection. Toxic Injection ability assigns a color to random players and intermittently introduces an attack based on one of those colors. If you've got red, spread out of the raid so you don't damage other players. Blue, group up to spread damage amongst yourselves. And if you've got yellow, make sure to drop yellow damaging void zones outside of melee. As you can see, a lot to deal with, but with some watching of vids and reading of strats, you'll be prepared and get your kill. So I hope this helps out and good luck. If you're on Twitter, come follow me at FFPMark with a C or check out my blog page at healingspec.com.
I'm as mad as Buxley and I'm not going to take it anymore. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. I spent a little time on the Timeless Isle. After arriving and venturing into the island a little ways, I saw that the main sport appears to be running around towards rare monster spawns and arriving just a little too late to get into the fight and share the loot. There are a lot of people that do this. I also collected a lot of Timeless coins, and they're everywhere. You kill a mob, get some coins. Complete a quest, get some coins. Look under a rock, get some coins. I squeezed a seagull once, and it dropped coins. I think. Anyway, I'm not sure if they're trying to flood the economy with these coins or what, but there sure were a lot of them. The biggest feature of the island is a huge arena where these ghosts take turns standing in their own corners while one stands in the middle giving philosophy lessons. Ever so often, people go out there into the middle and trying to get it to stop doing those lessons by beating up the ghost. This never works because the ghost gives up right near the end. And then another ghost will come out in the middle and give its philosophy of life. Another thing I've gotten a lot of is Timeless armor. It's crazy. I've personally collected like 52 sets of armor and plan on using them as scarecrows in my garden back in Pandaria. Nothing will run into my garden with 52 scarecrows, let me tell you. Anyway, Journal, I'm going to have to do a lot more exploring. Ever so often I hear this guy at the top of the hill of the island yelling these threats, so I'm going to go investigate him. Oh, and one more thing. I asked one of the locals what Timeless Isle translates to in their language, and they tell me that it roughly translates to the words loot piñata. I'm not sure what that means. Anyway, I'll write some more when I have a chance to explore some more. If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrass. I'm your host, EFinkG4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is the Fair Goers Feast. The goal here is to consume one of every Dark Moon food and drink. That's right, it's the first week of the month. First full week of the month, exactly. That means the Darkmoon Fair is going to be here. Head over to Goldshire, if you're Alliance, or Thunderbluff, if you're Horde. When you enter into the Darkmoon Fair, be sure to turn on Track Food and Drink. This will help you find these NPCs very easy. Solana's going to sell you all the beverages you need. And right behind her, behind those picnic tables, the guy who gives a quest to for the crunchy frog legs, Stamp Thunderhorn, he's going to have all the food. And now, all this food does have its own level requirement. Some of the food is level 5, a lot of the food is level 50, level 20, and even level 85. So if you're not max level, you're not going to get this achievement done. But you should still visit the fair and get this food, depending on what level you are, so that way you can actually use it. But then again, you could just buy all the food if you're level 85, go sit by the band and eat it all, and get the achievement of Fairgoer's Feast and 10 points. But hey, that's up to you.
Catch up on old shows at slashgrats.com or find us on Stitcher or iTunes. You can contact me on Twitter. I'm EFinkG4. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what makes you think you know enough about anything to offer me advice? I would like to thank the question asker for their best wishes on my 100th piece of advice. It has been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near. But I digress. For the first time in 100 episodes, I am not sure I understand the question. The way this works is that you ask a question and I cogitate on it, pondering at length, thinking deeply and considering many varied viewpoints to gather as much information as possible. Then I just think about what I think you should do and relay the information. I do not really need to know anything. I just need to boss you around a little. Of course, I do need you to be bossed. You are valuable, and I appreciate your contribution. Buck up, little gnome. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh. Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.